Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua tonight. A couple, 3 weeks ago, the two weeks before that, we were talking about making or walking in the Lord even in the midst of struggles. We're kind of back on that portion again a little bit tonight, because I think one of the issues that we have, and one of the issues that I have, is I like to dream. I like to think about what God could do if He just had all of our heart. What could He do with me if He just had all of me? I know that He allows certain things to come into our life to test us, to try us, to make us more into the likeness of His Son. There's no doubt about that. But I think a lot of the times that we go through struggles is not because God is trying to test us. It's because we brought it upon ourselves. And when we don't follow the Lord completely in obedience, it's fairly easy for us to fall into old ways, old patterns, old things. And I'm using the word old a lot because we're going to look at a guy tonight that was pretty old. His name was Caleb. And you know the story of Joshua and Caleb and how they were two of the 12 spies who went in to spy out the land and come back and give a report to the people. And they came back and their report was raving, saying, this is no doubt for the promised land. God has blessed. He's blessed us with it. We can certainly go in and take it over. Yes, there are giants in the land, but our God is bigger than those giants. And man, they were just full of energy and excitement and everything. But the other 10 were the typical, well, we saw all of that, but we saw the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in their sight. And we don't think we can do this. Well, they couldn't, but God could, right? So as a result, we know what happened. God said, okay, you're not going to go in, so now you're going to spend 40 years in the desert. You're going to spend 40 years waiting for everyone who was old enough to make this decision and voted against it to die, except for Joshua and Caleb. They were the two who said, we can do this. With God's help, we can certainly do this. And so we see, after God has allowed them to go into the land, that He begins to divide the land up and give them different areas according to the tribes that they're in. And so basically Caleb was looking at what he was going to take his family and his tribe to. And so that's what we're going to pick up in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord with my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time He said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out in battle as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said. Father, I come to You and I ask, Lord, that You'll just give us that kind of desire to follow You completely, to live in communion with You. Father, to see things the way You see them instead of the way our physical eyes see them. Lord, we can be so fooled by this world. We can be so fooled by the things of this world. And I think it's easy for us, Lord, to look around and become fearful or become worried or become in a state, Father, where we don't know whether or not we can do something. Father, we just need to remember with You, all things are possible. And so, Lord, I pray that You'll give us the ability to dare to dream. Caleb already knew that. He already knew that what You said You would do 45 years before, You would do it. And he stood upon that conviction. And I thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, you are never too old to dream. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm getting a lot older. Like, in one day I got a lot older, you know. And you start thinking, well, man, maybe some of the things I thought I should do probably aren't going to come to pass. The fact is, folks, if you're still alive, God still has a purpose. Amen? We give up way too early sometimes. We give up way too easily sometimes. You're never too old to dream. Caleb is an example of that. He was not retired. He was refired. He was ready to go. He was ready to take on the same people that were still there 45 years later. He was ready to go. Now, how do I know it was the same people? Because they were the Anakites. These were the big people. These were the group that Goliath had been a part, or is a part of. I mean, these were giants in the land. These were the big folks. And they lived in this area because it was the best area in the hill country. And it had water and it had green grass and it had everything that they would need for their sheep and for their animals. And he says, listen, give me that hill country. In fact, the King James says, give me that mountain. I want that mountain. He was not retired. He was refired. By the way, where is retirement in Scripture? Now, I understand people retire from their normal everyday jobs. That's okay. But we should never retire from serving God. I think sometimes a lot of people think, well, you know, when I retire, I'm going to do everything I want to do. What if we thought about it like this? When I retire, I'm going to do everything God wants me to do. Because, honestly, folks, that's what we ought to be doing even when we're not retired. When God is through with us, He'll take us home. There's no doubt about that. You know, I think about in Scripture people that God used, like Elijah, and He used him. But then, when He was through with Elijah, He said, come on up here. And Elijah just went to be with God. That's going to be awesome, by the way. I think a lot of people fear death. I don't fear death. I fear the hurting of death, the pain of death. But I don't fear death. I look forward to the day that I get to be in the presence of God. And, Caleb was the kind of person who says, God, You're the one who gave us this promised land. You're the one who brought us here in the first place and we turned it down. You're the one who's brought us back again to it now. We are walking through it and taking it over. And Lord, You're going to do this. And I'm ready. Even though I'm 85 years old, I'm ready to do this. In fact, if he put it in our today's vernacular, he'd probably say, I'm way past ready. Come on, give me something. Let's do this. And he was not too young either. By the way, I think that's one of the problems. Is a lot of times when we're too young, we don't want to trust God because we think, well, we've got all these other things we'd rather do. We've got all, you know, and I've got a long life to live, so let me live this part of it for myself. You don't know that you'll have tomorrow, the Scripture says. The only reason we're here and still alive is because God has a plan for this day. And did you wake up this morning and ask God, God, what is Your plan for this day today? If you didn't ask that, it's a good thing to ask. Because sometimes we don't know because we don't ask. And so we end up spending the whole day doing the things we want to do or trying to accomplish all the things we want to accomplish. We get to the end of the day and we stop long enough to speak to the Lord again. And He says, hey, you know, there were a couple of times today you had an opportunity to share Christ and you didn't do it. Sometimes because people are young, they're so consumed and convinced that it's about them. God many times, though, used very young people in Scripture. In fact, it's interesting how many different times God picked someone who was the weakest, the youngest, the runt of the crowd or whatever to do amazing things. Little David, the little shepherd boy. Could have been any of the other brothers, but God said, no, they're not it, Samuel. Ask him about his younger son. And he asked Jesse, do you have another son? Yes, he's out there taking care of the sheep. God says, that's the one I want to use. Joseph. Nothing great about Joseph himself. I mean, he's just a hard worker, just doing his job, building stuff every day. God chose him to be the earthly father of his son. Yeah, I mean, when you sit down and list out all of the characters of Scripture, most of us don't put Joseph up there in the top 10. God said, I know his heart, and I want him to be the earthly father of Jesus. Daniel. You know, Daniel was a teenager when he got carried off into captivity along with his friends. Ananias, Azariah, Malachi. I can't remember their Hebrew names. I remember their other names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But anyway, he just, you know, he was a young guy. But he stood up for God in the midst of a foreign country that he'd been taken slave into. And God used him in incredible ways in that place. Dreams only become reality when we follow through, though. Fact is, God many times gives us vision. He gives us dreams, so to speak. He gives us particular things that He wants us to accomplish. But if we don't do them, they don't get accomplished. Caleb says, I'm still able. Lord, don't give up on me. I'm 85 years old, yes, but I am ready to go. Caleb had the heart of a person who wanted to do God's will. You know, folks, we've got to do God's will. He's called us. I mean, He paid the price for us. He bought us with His own Son's blood. Does He deserve to be in control of us? Absolutely. You know, when they crossed the Jordan River and took down Jericho and immediately began to take down all these other huge places where people were militarily fortified, they still continued to find victory after victory after victory after victory. But they had to do it. They didn't just walk in and everybody run away. They still had battles. We still have battles. Do you find yourself in battles every day? Sometimes it's not as bad. Sometimes it's really bad. But it's because God doesn't drop everything into our laps. He says to us, this is what I want, and we have to go and get it. Caleb says, Lord, give me that big mountain. I want the place where the giants live. Why? Because I know that there are none of them bigger than you. And you will give them into my hand. The Christian walk is a Christian work, by the way. I think many times we'd rather walk than work, wouldn't we? We'd rather just take the easy road and just kind of slide through life and, you know, make everything as comfortable as possible. We kind of like that. But that's not always what God intends for us. Now, there may be times where He allows that to happen in our lives, and that's great. But the fact is that God has called us into a work for Him. Caleb says, I'm able. I'm ready. You see, when God calls us, it's a work. We must obey. If we don't obey the Lord, what is that called? Disobedience, right? It's literally saying to God, Lord, I know you said for me to do this, but I choose to do something different. Can you imagine standing in front of God and saying that to His face? And yet that's what we do. We must obey. We must follow His directives, not our directives. We might say, okay, Lord, I know you want me to do this, but I've got a different plan on how to get to that same spot. Well, guess whose plan is going to be better, yours or God's? It's always going to be God's plan. It's always going to be better. We've got to work and we've got to follow and we've got to obey, we've got to follow and we've got to work. Listen, folks, God has called us into the work of reaching people for Him. It's not easy. If it was, everybody would be doing it. But it's real work. And it means investment. It means giving up of things that you want to hold on to sometimes. It means giving up things that you think would benefit yourself. But instead, we work for Him. He is Lord. And will it be easy? No, sometimes we are going to face giants. We're going to face giants from without. And we're going to face giants from within. Many times when we try to share Christ with other people, there's going to be great opposition. People don't want to hear it. I'm not going to mention any names in this, but I just want to tell you a short little story about a person in my life right now that for many years has just not wanted to hear anything about God, not wanted to really submit anything intellectually or in any other way in his life to listening to things about God. But I'm starting to see a little crack and a little opening there. Little by little by little. And you know how that crack gets open? It's just loving that person. No matter what they say, no matter what they blow up and say, no matter what they do, just tell them you love them. You see, love is God's purpose to use in the lives of people because that's who God is. And we just got to love on them. We just got to care about them. People will begin to open up when they know you really, truly, honestly care about them. Not that you just want to, you know, kick in the door and tell them about Jesus and leave, but really care about them. Right? I think many of you came to know Christ the same way. You probably didn't want anything, wouldn't really want anything to do with the church, so to speak. But now you're invested in it because God has changed your life from the inside out because somebody was willing to love you to Jesus. We will face giants, though. There's going to be people who oppose us, and they're not going to want to hear about Christ, and they're not going to open up, and they're going to make it really difficult. And sometimes you're going to feel like a failure. In fact, maybe many times more than not, you feel like a failure. You feel like, I could have done this, or I should have done this, or you know, why can't I accomplish this, or whatever it is. So you have two options there. Give up or give in to the Lord. It's always better to give in to the Lord because in the process of failing, He's doing His greatest work. In the process of struggle, He's doing His greatest work. Because what He's doing is making sure that we realize it's not about whether we're good or not. It's about Him being good. And what He can do through us is way better than what we can do on our own. I think sometimes the giants that we face are because of our own laziness and procrastination. Knowing that we should do something, but we don't do it. Well, I'll get to it. You ever put something off? You ever feel like, yeah, I'll do it, but I'll do it when I can get to it. Well, lots of times when I can get to it, it never comes. And most wives are probably elbowing their husbands right now. If my wife was here, she'd be doing that. When are you going to get this done? The fact is that God has given us not a suggestion, but a command to go and to tell people. I don't know about you, but if I was in the military, Bill, you were in the military, right? LeGree, were you in the military? You know, when your commanding officer says, do something, you don't go, well, you know, I'll do that, but give me a couple of weeks to get around to it. what would you be doing? You'd be peeling potatoes, wouldn't you? You know, no. When your commanding officer says, do this, you do it. But for some reason, we think when God tells us to do something, we'll say, okay, God, I'll get around to it when I have the time, when I have the energy, when I have the availability. But you haven't seen my schedule today. Maybe God is saying, I don't care about your schedule. I care about that person. God shows us His power through weak things. All through Scripture, God takes the smallest things, the weakest things, the little things, and He does amazing things. In fact, Paul says, when I am weak, then He is strong. It is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure, the Scripture reminds us. And we look at all these people that God used in Scripture. And by the way, all these people in Scripture were not necessarily the elite. They didn't have all the answers already. They weren't always the keenest intellectually. They weren't always the strongest physically. They were just willing to be used by God. Moses. In fact, Moses tried to get out of it, didn't he? He started dickering with God and saying, Lord, I got a brother, Aaron. Man, talk about a guy who can talk to people. That's Aaron. I mean, he can talk to people. He'd be a great shoe salesman. He'd be a great car dealer. I mean, they didn't have those things back then. But anyway, he'd be great. He can talk about all of me. I have a problem. I stutter. And people don't want to hear that. Moses, what's that in your hand? It's a rod. Throw it on the ground. Okay. So he throws it on the ground, turns into a snake. A venomous snake. A snake that could kill you. God says, pick it up by the tail. And Moses goes, in his mind, Moses goes, Lord, don't you know that if I pick up the tail, the head's going to come around? He says, pick it up, Moses. So he picks it up, and it turns back into the staff. He said, do you understand, Moses, what I'm saying to you? You're not in control. You don't have the power to do these things. You're going to feel like you've got stuttering problems. You're going to feel like somebody else could probably do it better than you. But I have chosen you to do this. Did you know that God has chosen you to do this as well? You wouldn't be here if that wasn't true. You wouldn't have Jesus Christ living in your life if He'd not already chosen to use you. And if we don't tell people, who's going to do it? Moses, slow to speak. Gideon, 300 versus an innumerable army. And Gideon had never led an army. He wasn't even a military guy. He was a farmer, a great farmer. And God says, I want you to lead my army. Now, you remember what Gideon did. Lord, let me think about that for a little while. And then he started making this deal with God. God, if you'll change this into something else, then I'll believe you. God could do any of that kind of stuff. God wasn't interested in that. God was saying, like, Gideon, I want you to lead my army. And little David, as a young boy, probably 12 years old is what is suggested in Scripture. 12 years old, facing the largest person in the world at the time, Goliath. The strongest, most fearful, terrifying person a person could face. And at 12 years old, he didn't come out there going like, Lord, I don't think I... He says, how dare you, Goliath, speak against my God? He's going to take you down today and give you into my hands. And you will be eaten by the birds of the air today. That's kind of like the Christians of this world against the world itself. But God uses the small things, the things that don't seem to be to do something amazing with. And God will help us accomplish His will if we'll trust Him in this. Listen, folks, Joshua and Caleb, 45 years before that, knew that God could do it. And nothing had changed in their life. Joshua led the people into the land. Caleb was right with him. And when it came time for God to split up the land into the different clans, Caleb said, God, give me that mountain where the giants live. That's what I want. I want to show them that you're bigger than them. I want to show them that you can do what you promised already that you would do. God will help us if we'll just ask. But I think a lot of times we're afraid to ask because we know that if we ask, He will answer the prayer, but it means using us. I think a lot of times we want to pray, Lord, give us people to trust you, to come to you in Christ, and use everybody else to go tell them. God doesn't do it that way. The reason that you're praying for people to come to know the Lord ought to be because you love them and you care about them. And what person who loves and cares about a person won't talk to them about anything? Doesn't make sense. And God will open up doors. It's amazing. Like I was telling you before, this one that I've been praying for and talking to for a number of years now, the door is starting to crack open. And it's just because every time I talk to him, I tell him I'm praying for him and I love him. That's it. I don't try to, shove anything down his throat. I just tell him, I want to pray for you and I love you. And in fact, yesterday, he'd just been through a difficult time in his life that I believe God took care of in a very awesome way. I just said, man, I'm so glad you're doing okay today. I've been praying for you, and I just want to tell you I love you. And for the first time, he told me this on the phone, I love you too. God will help us if we'll ask. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. Isn't it interesting that there's three things that God says He will do? And there's three parts of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God will hear from heaven. Jesus will forgive their sin. And the Spirit will heal their land. That's what God's trying to do, wants to do through all of us who are His. But we have to make a choice. Let's be Caleb's who say, Lord, give us that giant. Give us that mountain. Give us the power to face the giants. Give us the ability, Lord, to walk in you and to show people we love them. Give us that, Lord. And I believe when that happens, we will see people come to know Christ. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful picture of an 85-year-old man who was just as willing today to go in and face the giants as he was 45 years before that. Because he knew his God was in control. He knew his God was more powerful than any giants, more powerful than any armies, more powerful than anything here on this earth. And that's who you are, God. You are awesome, God. So Lord, help us to quit procrastinating, putting things off, thinking that someday we'll get to it when someday doesn't happen. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day we ought to maybe even go home, pick up the phone and call somebody, just tell them that we love them. Maybe you're putting a name on somebody's heart right now, Lord, to say, I haven't talked to him in quite some time, and I know they need God, but it's been so difficult to try to share with them. Just tell them you love them. Lord, help us to do that. Because it is your love, your great love, that will show them how much they are loved. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.